WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Another day, another dollar. That's right. Happy Tuesday, March 21st, 2017. We're so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. We are live here on WKAR AM 870 as well as 94.5 FM. So again, if you're listening on AM and you want a clear signal, hey, just pop over to FM. We've got a great show in store for all of you out there as we will chat about a plethora of sports topics starting with the whole Colin Kaepernick situation. Yes, it is one of the hotly debated sports topics out there. Colin Kaepernick, we all know the story, decided to take a knee last year prior to each and every game when the national anthem was sung, protesting inequality here in the United States of America. Now Kaepernick is a free agent and he can't find a job. We'll talk about why. Don't miss that yet. Also, Adam Silver has sent a memo to league owners of NBA teams across the association. And he has a problem with many teams across the league resting star players, saying, quote, it's a significant issue for the league, end quote. We'll chat about that. Also, we'll briefly engage in some dialogue concerning the Detroit Pistons and whether or not they will make the NBA playoffs. 19 games remaining for the red, white, and royal blue. Can they do it? It's going to be tough, I tell you that. And then later on in the hour, we will invite to the show Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio out in Atlanta. We'll get his thoughts and takeaways as the Sweet 16 is now just a few days away. Exciting stuff there. You don't want to miss that. And then on the back end of the show, we will talk about the NFL and certain players being linked, former players, I should say, being linked with the heinous disease of ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease. It is riveting stuff and a pretty big name, another big name in NFL history has been diagnosed with ALS. So we'll talk about the linkage between the NFL and ALS, and we will chat about a big matchup that will be taking place. Doesn't concern any of our local high school boys basketball teams, but it does concern two of the most outstanding players on the high school hardwood that will be going at it mano a mano tonight at 7 p.m. inside of the legendary Don Johnson Fieldhouse. You'll find out who those two studs are in just a moment. That and so much more. If you want to be a part of the show, you can simply chime in by picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, where we are currently live streaming the show. And you can even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Let's start this party right. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, tonight we have MHSAA boys basketball quarterfinal action. That's right, tonight will determine which teams get an invite to the state championship semis and finals this weekend at the Breslin Center. Again, that takes place tonight, quarterfinal action. Three local schools in action. Lansing Christian will take on Benton Harbor Dream Academy in the Class D quarterfinals. That game will take place at Kalamazoo Loy Norix as Forrest Boyer attempts to lead the Pilgrims back to the Brez. Tip time for that matchup is scheduled for 7 p.m. Also want to note, Williamston will look to continue its magical run in the Class B playoffs as they will face River Rouge in the quarterfinal game. The Hornets will be making the long trip to Chelsea High School, and that game will tip off at 7 p.m. And also at 7 p.m., Fowler will play Southfield Christian in Class D. We'll be following all three of those games tonight. We'll give you an update on all of that action on tomorrow's Current Sports. Class A boys hoop action also continues as the top two finishers in the Mr. Basketball voting will take off. That's right, folks. Xavier Tillman's Grand Rapids Christian squad will take on Isaiah Livers and Kalamazoo Central. Livers beat out Tillman for Mr. Basketball yesterday by a narrow margin in overall points, even though Tillman did receive more first place votes. The 6'8" Livers is signed to be a Michigan Wolverine next season, while Tillman will be headed to East Lansing to play for Tom Izzo's Michigan State Spartans. The game between the two schools takes place tonight, 7 p.m., locally at Don Johnson Fieldhouse. It is going to be one packed affair tonight. I'm going to try to get a seat. I'm just going to enjoy that one. I'm not even going to cover that one. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy that game tonight. Look forward to seeing those two young men go at it. All right, the Michigan State baseball team decided to push up the home opener. It is a BEA beautiful day here in mid-Michigan. The sun is out. Birds are chirping. 50 degrees. I saw folks out there with t-shirts and flip-flops. It's great. It's a great day to play some baseball. Michigan State baseball opens up the home schedule today with a game against the Central Michigan Chips. The Spartans, of course, played their first 16 games of the season on the road, finishing that slate with an 11-5 record. Head coach Jake Boss Jr., as we highlighted on yesterday's show, picked up his 300th win as a collegiate coach and 275th as MSU's coach last weekend. The Chippewas come in with just an 8-11 mark. However, they did take 3 of 4 games from Northwestern last week at Northwestern. This game marks the Spartans' earliest home opener since 2009 and earliest ever at McLane Stadium. The Spartans' probable starter will be junior left-hander Keegan Barr, who posts a 0-0 record. Again, first start. 7.71 ERA. First pitch scheduled for 4 p.m. That should be fun. All right, the Michigan State gymnastics team received some good news over the weekend when 4 of its gymnasts found out that they had qualified for NCAA regionals. Big ups to Nicola Deans, Elena Legowski, Kira Frederick, and Haley Wesney. All 4 of them will continue their seasons. Deans will compete in the all-around competition. Legowski and Frederick will compete in the 4 routine, and Wesney will try her luck in the uneven bars. The combination of Deans, Legowski, Frederick, those 3 earned a Big Ten title last week on the floor routine. The meet will take place at 4 p.m. on April 1st out in Champaign, Illinois. Michigan State freshman Allison Gear experienced the most exciting moment you can have in the sport of golf. I am still chasing this accomplishment. It hasn't happened yet, but a hole in one for the freshie. How about that on Monday at the Briars Creek Invitational in South Carolina? Gear currently sits at 9th place in the tournament with a 2 under par. Now, she shot a career low 4 under 68 in the opening round of the tourney and followed that up with a 2 over 74 on Monday. The Spartans as a team currently sit at 7th place in the 18-team field. Now, the field consists of 10 teams ranked in the top 50 nationally. Final round play for the tourney will conclude today as Gear chases the lead, currently sitting at 5 shots back. The Detroit Red Wings. Yeah, they lost yet again last night, this time to the Buffalo Sabres by a score of 2-1. The loss drops the Wings to 28, 32, and 11 overall and marks the 7th loss in the last 10 games for the D. Sabres star Jack Eichel found the back of the net early on, and Buffalo added another power play goal later down Detroit. Now, Tomas Tatar found the back of the net for the 3rd straight game for the Wings. The Wing will, yeah, its playoff hopes continue to look slim as they sit last in the Atlantic Division with just 67 points. Detroit is back in action tonight when they visit the red-hot Montreal Canadiens. Puck drop scheduled for 7:30 p.m., and that can be seen, if you want to hurt your eyes, on Fox Sports Detroit tonight. Bad year to close out the Joe, right? Moving along, the Detroit Pistons will kick off a 4-game road trip when they visit the Brooklyn Nets tonight. The Nets currently have the worst record of the NBA and have dropped their last three straight at home. Detroit is coming off a 115-92 dub over the Phoenix Suns on Sunday. However, the last game, these two teams met. The Nets actually beat the Pistons 109-101 in BK. Now, Detroit will be focusing on Nets big man Brook Lopez, who went for 34 points and 11 boards in that game, a double-dub. Detroit currently sits in a tie for the eighth seed in the East with the Miami Heat and a half game in back of the Milwaukee Bucks for the seventh seed. Tip time, 7:30 p.m., and that can be seen on Fox Sports Detroit Plus. And lastly, the Detroit Lions continued their busy free agency yesterday when they signed veteran defensive tackle Jordan Hill. Hill is a former third-round pick of the Seattle Seahawks back in 2013. Hill spent last season splitting time between two teams, the Washington Redskins and Jacksonville Jaguars, appearing in four games. Now, he figures to be a rotational piece on a defensive line that has gotten deeper through free agency. Hill has played in 31 career games, recording seven sacks and one interception. The terms of Hill's deal have not yet been disclosed. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of our show, again, that number is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's start the show.
Francisco quarterback. I'm sure nobody ever heard of him. I'm just reporting the news. There was an article today. I love to report the news, and then they said I made a mistake, right? I said, no, the people reporting the news made a mistake if it's wrong. But there was an article today reported that NFL owners don't want to pick him up because they don't want to get a nasty tweet from Donald Trump. Do you believe that? I just saw that.
President Donald Trump. Yeah, we lead with him on today's current sports. You didn't see that coming, did you? You did not see that coming. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. Really hope you are having a great start to your Tuesday. Well, it's now Tuesday afternoon, so I really hope you had a great morning, is what I should be saying, right? It is beautiful outside. I'm actually rocking a t-shirt for the first time in I don't know how long here in Studio S. Feels good outside. Probably wash the car, walk the dog, then go check out, of course, that Xavier Tillman and Isaiah Livers matchup later on this afternoon. Should be a good day. A good day in the neighborhood here in East Lansing, Michigan. Really hope you're having a great one. I want to start by getting this off my chest. Again, it's one of the more hotly debated topics in the world of sports. And again, we encourage you all to chime in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. President Donald Trump veered off message a bit last night at a campaign-style rally out in Louisville, Kentucky. You know, largely pushing for the Republican healthcare overhaul, right? But then he decided to talk about San Francisco former San Francisco 49ers quarterback, Colin Kaepernick. You heard his comments on that. Quote, it was reported that NFL owners don't want to pick him up because they don't want to get a nasty tweet from Donald Trump, end quote. Oh, the Donald. Oh, boy. I'm not going to address specifically Donald Trump here. I want to talk about why Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job. Why he is currently unemployed as a free agent in the National Football League. Well, there's many ways you can look at this. And I want to just get this off my chest and say this. The reason why Cap is not employed is, let's be real here, he wasn't a very good quarterback last season, and his problems exceed his talents. Or I should say his perceived problems exceed his talents. Yes, the protest is a problem from a business standpoint, folks. That's what these NFL GMs and owners are. From a business standpoint, the protest, deciding to take a knee during the national anthem, is a problem. You know why? It's a business problem in the majority of a vast majority NFL cities. If you're the owner of a company, as all NFL team owners are, do you want to employ a quarterback who can become a distraction? And probably more importantly here, does not help you win games? Of course not. That's a no-brainer, right? Cap should have known what he was getting himself into when he decided to take a knee, which many people admired, including myself. I praise Colin Kaepernick for that move. Shining lights on equality here in the United States of America. It happened during a time where we saw, it seemed like on the daily, footage of law enforcement across this great country gunning down African-American males. Cap is very socially conscious and socially aware. So I thought him taking a knee and expressing his free speech in doing so was great. But Cap, if you're going to do something like that, you got to understand the bigger picture here. You are going to ruffle some feathers, right or wrong. And in my opinion, it was the right move. But you have to be willing to carry the baggage that is going to come with a move like that. Cats who have made concrete footprints in the civil rights movement, like MLK. I mean, how about, you know, some of the great African-American leaders of our time, Malcolm X, Rosa Parks. They knew that in taking certain stances and going against the grain of popular American thoughts when it comes to equality here in our great nation, they knew that there was going to be some backlash, violent backlash at that. The fact, though, and this is where Cap kind of loses me. I love the move there, but this is where he kind of lost me. And I went on this rant when it happened. The fact that Colin Kaepernick did not vote, that rubbed me the wrong way, not expressing probably the most important right you have as an American, and you talk about inequality here in the United States of America. I didn't get that. Fuzzy message there. Fuzzy message, in my opinion. But also the fact that Cap came out and said, you know what? I'm done kneeling. I'm done. I feel like I've accomplished what I needed to accomplish. I didn't like that. If you're going to do it, go all the way with it, dude. Because now the fact that you are going to stop the kneeling during national anthems, it reeks of hypocrisy. Either you are going to be a social and political activist or not. Because now it looks like, since you have now come out and said that you're done kneeling, it looks like you are just trying to do that so that you don't become a distraction and you just get your paycheck and get a job. Cap has, and don't get me wrong, the dude has done some great things. He has done some great things. I mean, the 49ers donating $1 million to local charities that fight racial and social inequality last season, a pledge no doubt spurred by Kaepernick's activism. Also, one of several celebrities to help crowdfund nearly $2 million to buy and send food to famine victims in Somalia. Love it. Also, you can't forget about this. I thought this was one of the coolest ones. The Black Panther-inspired youth camp that Cap is trying to grow. Love that. Love that idea. Love it. But with a move like this, you know, saying I'm done kneeling, I mean, again, it reeks of hypocrisy in my eyes. And from a business standpoint, I'm trying to dive into the mind of an NFL owner, an NFL GM. From a business standpoint, when you consider that of the 32 NFL teams, Donald Trump won the state they are located in for 19 of them. That is only the California teams, the Seahawks, the Bears, the Broncos, the Vikings, the New York teams, the Washington Redskins, Baltimore Ravens, and the New England Patriots are in states that the Democrats won. The Bills are in a upstate New York, which is actually a very conservative area that Donald Trump won by a wide margin. So if you're an NFL owner, do you really want to add a subpar, mediocre quarterback that could possibly divide your fan base politically? That this is what the mind of the NFL owner and GM is thinking right now when concerning Colin Kaepernick. But let's be real here. If Cap was a good quarterback, the dude would have a job now despite what happened last season and the whole kneeling controversy. Your talent has to exceed your perceived problems. Countless examples of this in the league, in sports in general. Adrian Peterson, right, for example, got charged with child abuse, ultimately pled guilty to a crime relating to that abuse. And you know what the Minnesota Vikings did? Because at the time, AP was still putting up big numbers. The Vikings stood behind Adrian Peterson. But get this. The minute AP's talent ran out, guess what? The Vikings kicked him to the curb. It was a wrap. Done. If you really want to get specific here, since the beginning of last season, 19 current NFL players have been arrested for committing crimes. And only four of them were released by their teams. Let's look at the numbers, shall we? Colin Kaepernick completed only 59% of his passes in the last 2 years. He is not the same guy that we saw lead the San Fran 49ers to the Super Bowl. He's not the guy who, after that year, we were having legit conversations on how Colin Kaepernick was revolutionizing the quarterback position, probably. Yeah, that quickly went out the window, right? He is not a guy who can work from the pocket. Limited number of options when it comes to teams out there in NFL. Limited number of options based on his skill set right now. When it comes to the numbers, the proof is in the numbers, folks. Cap's numbers have been trash. He is a backup in the NFL. But then you start to have the conversation about whether or not you want to take on the possible distraction, and is he worth it? Yeah, I mean, does Cap really make your team better? You know, and then if you have the discussion when it comes to Cap being a backup quarterback, what kind of contract is he looking at? How much money are we talking here? Found this to be interesting. An NFL general manager told Bleacher Report's Mike Freeman that a significant majority of league executives, quote, genuinely hate, end quote, Kaepernick for his protest last year. Yeah. What is more, the source told Freeman, league bosses want to use Kaepernick as an example to discourage other employees from taking similar political stands in the future, which is very disturbing when you read something like that, right? Again, an unnamed NFL GM made this statement to the Bleacher Report's Mike Freeman. Quote, they want nothing to do with him. They won't move on. They think showing no interest is a form of punishment. I think some teams also want to use Cap as a cautionary tale to stop other players in the future from doing what he did, end quote. When you hear something like that, that really disturbs me because that's just a sick way of thinking. Dude, again, he was in his right to do what he did last year, and he did it to try and raise awareness on unfairness and inequality that is still taking place in our nation. On Friday, an anonymous GM, again, went on to elaborate on why Cap doesn't have a job. Quote, and this is an interesting opinion here, quote, he can still play at a high level. The problem is three things are happening with him. First, some teams genuinely believe that he can't play. They think he's shot. I put that number around 20% of people. Second, some teams fear the backlash from fans after getting him. They think there might be protests or President Donald Trump will tweet about the team. I'd say that number is around 10%. Then there's another 10% that has a mix of those feelings. And he goes on to say this, quote, third, the rest genuinely hate him and can't stand what he did. They want nothing to do with him. They won't move on. And again, it goes back to that quote I said. They won't move on. They think showing interest is a form of punishment, blah, blah, blah. So when it comes to Cap, I get why NFL GMs and owners do not want to take the risk. It would be we would have a different conversation if Cap was a better quarterback. But he's just not. He's just not. Is it worth the risk? Is it worth taking on that distraction for just a backup quarterback? He's not going to start. And then, you know, I hear the argument about, and I saw Spike Lee. Spike decided to, you know, he had lunch with Cap sometime in the last few days. And he had an interesting Instagram post that centered on why he believes Cap does not have a job. In much like, you know, Spike Lee fashion. Very interesting Instagram that was posted actually on Sunday. He had brunch with Cap. I just want to read this in typical Spike Lee fashion. Quote, just had brunch with my brother Colin Kaepernick. How is it that there are 32 NFL teams and Cap is still a free agent? Smells mad fishy to me. Stinks to the high heavens. The New York Jets need a quarterback. Who is the Jets quarterback? My man Joe Willie Namath. Coming back? Crazy times we live in. The question remains, what owner and GM is going to step up and sign Colin to their team has a better chance to win? What crime has Colin committed? Look at the QBs of all 32 teams. This is some straight up shenanigans. And then he goes on to use these crazy words. Then he says, you dig? Show enough. By any means necessary. And that's the No Fun League. Truth Ruth. Spike Lee. Gotta love his wordplay, right? Isaac Kass is our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Isaac, thoughts on this, my man, because I really think that it's really obvious as to why Colin does not have a job in the league.
Colin Kaepernick, such an intriguing figure for me. And when he first started the protest, I saw it from both sides because I respect the movement. There's obviously a problem in the U.S. in terms of unequal treatment of minorities, and especially under the hands of law enforcement. Colin Kaepernick, let's face it. I mean, whether you love the guy, whether you hate him, he's effective. He got the issue into the spotlight, into the limelight. Many people who wouldn't have otherwise batted an eye, noticed the problem, suddenly said, whether we agree with him or don't, look at what he's doing and look at what the issue is. Now, the thing with Kaepernick that I'm more conflicted about is the fact that, like you said, he doesn't vote. He wears a Fidel Castro who silenced and killed millions of dissenters, and he wore a shirt of him, wore socks displaying all cops as pigs. I mean, it just was not necessarily the most intelligent way to go about, and then didn't vote. So Colin Kaepernick, an up and down figure for me. But the thing is, we could be looking at Colin Kaepernick as the Messiah himself, and teams still wouldn't want to sign him. And the reason isn't because he's that bad of a quarterback. Like you said, he's an entirely mediocre, average backup quarterback in the NFL. In fact, if it was just skill alone, he would have a job right now as a backup quarterback for a mid-level NFL team, such as the Jets, like Spike Lee put it. So that's the issue, because as much as teams want a guy who might be a little bit versatile, a good backup quarterback, especially one with experience in a Super Bowl, Cap would be the ideal signing for a position like that. Tim Tebow didn't have a job. And Tim Tebow didn't have a job at the time. I'm not saying Tim Tebow's an NFL quarterback, but the thing is, everybody loved Tim Tebow. Everybody loved
People
Tim Tebow
do.
Too much.
Yeah.
That's the issue. When reporters come flooding into the locker room, What they ask is, boy, Tebow, what do you think about the social issue? What do you think about your playing time? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think about your charity campaign so far? They ask Colin Kaepernick the same questions. And suddenly, other players in the locker room start to get a little antsy. Why is he getting all the attention? I'm the one playing on the field. Why is a backup quarterback such a distraction, such a nuisance to this team? That becomes the issue. That becomes what peeves players. And the last thing you want when you're running a team is any sort of cacophony in the locker room. You don't want any sort of dissension between your main guys, your star players, who want all the attention, all the endorsements, and a backup quarterback. That's the last thing you want. As much as I like and respect Colin Kaepernick in many ways, I would not sign him either if I were an NFL GM. And that's not because I hate the protest. It's because the guy's an average quarterback who brings too much luggage into the locker room.
And it would be totally different if the dude has skill. I'm just saying. I mean, you
exactly.
Look at, you look at countless names throughout sports history. You know, guys like AP. I brought up AP and his situation. I brought up this name a lot, Ray Lewis. That's another name that sticks out when that whole situation. People forget about what
charged
Ray Lewis
with murder.
Went through. Exactly.
Yep.
Charged with murder. And the dude was one of the greatest linebackers of all time, and people forget about that. If you're one of the best in the game, there are a lot of NFL personnel. There are a lot of people in sports who manage teams, who own teams, that are willing to look the other way and say, but you're a good player. Simple as that. I mean, heck, Kobe Bryant, another name I bring up. People forget about what happened in Colorado, seemingly, with Kobe Bryant. He went out there, beasted, and put up crazy numbers, and people kind of forgot about the situation. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot that happened to Kobe Bryant back in Colorado. So, you know, it's one of those things. Greg Hardy, for my Dallas Cowboys, Greg Hardy threw his girlfriend on a futon filled with automatic weapons. You know what Jerry Jones did? He said, oh, he's a changed man. We're putting him back on the roster. Countless examples of that. It would be a totally different situation if Cap was one of the upper echelon players in the league. I want to know your thoughts on it. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Later on this hour, after we get to our guest for today's Current Sports, again, we have Deshaun Tate, college basketball producer, host, and reporter for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. He's going to join us on the show to give us his rap on the past weekend, a crazy weekend in the world of March Madness, right? The NCAA men's basketball tourney. But I just want to intro this topic and let you guys think about it and get your comments via facebook.com/currentsports before we really dive into it. But Adam Silver, I found this story to be very intriguing on multiple levels. NBA commish Adam Silver has called the practice of teams resting marquee players, quote, an extremely significant issue for our league. He said that in a memo that was sent to team owners on Monday. Now, in the memo, Silver informed teams that the issue will be a prime topic of discussion at the NBA Board of Governors meeting, which will take place on April 6th, out in New York, and warned of significant penalties for teams that don't abide by the league's standing rules for providing notice to the league office, their opponent, and the media immediately upon a determination that a player will not participate in a game due to rest. What do you think about NBA players taking nights off and looking down the pike at the playoffs and saying, you know what, I need more rest if we are going to make a solid run come NBA playoff time? I got some strong thoughts on it. You don't want to miss that. I want to hear your thoughts, though. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. After we hit our first break, I should say, we will welcome to WKAR's Current Sports Deshaun Tate, college basketball producer, host, and reporter for CBS Radio down in the ATL. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I also want to push along this bit of news to you all. Tomorrow, is Michigan State Football Pro Day. And I had totally forgot about it. I had totally forgot about it until I received a text from one of our current sports PAs back in the Dizay, not too long ago, at first semester, actually. Zach Swizicki. I mean, he shot me a text and said, "Al, have you gotten any word from MSU Athletics concerning Michigan State Pro Day? You know it's tomorrow." I'm like, oh my goodness, it is the 22nd. I had totally whiffed on it and forgot. And I checked my email to make sure that I didn't miss anything. And I'm like, yo, Swy, I don't have anything. And you know what? I'm not surprised, because we all know what's taking place with the Michigan State football program. The sexual assault investigation is taking place with, again, three unnamed football players involved and one Michigan State football staff member who that his name has already been mentioned, that being Curtis Blackwell. So it's weird. Isaac, did I overlook this? I didn't see anything. I didn't get anything, at least in my email, about
predictions. I didn't get anything either.
Okay, I'm just making sure here. Making sure I don't sound like an idiot on the air, like, oh, they must have shelled Al out from MSU football. But no, I think they're on complete lockdown. Again, I mentioned how MSU football, usually around this time of the year, we are talking about spring football with Michigan State. They've already been taking spring practices left and right throughout each and every week. And usually we have media availability when it comes to head coach Mark D'Antonio. He'll address and give us an update concerning the roster, concerning position battles. We get to talk to assistant coaches. We have a few players available each and every week. Complete lockdown right now when it comes to the legal issues with Michigan State football. So, I'm actually seeing this. This is an update. Chris Solari actually tweeted that media is closed from Pro Day, except for select interviews with players participating in Pro Day. So there's an update there. Chris Solari, a good friend of the show, who again is a Michigan State sports writer for the Detroit Free Press, formerly of the Lansing State Journal, tweeting that the media is closed from Pro Day. We can interview players participating, players like, you know, Malik McDowell. He'll probably be there. Also, I'm trying to think who else is on that list.
That's what I was trying to think. That's part of it, too.
I am trying to rattle my brain here. I know Malik McDowell, because we talked about, you know, Spartans. Man, we have not talked MSU football, which is so odd around this time of year. Okay. Yeah, Malik McDowell is on the list. I'm trying to think. Who else?
Monte Nicholson.
Yeah. And I'm forgetting one more.
Riley Bulla.
Exactly.
Grant us and Mock are helping out back
here. Thank you, Grant. Our PA back there. We haven't talked MSU football in so long. It's like, man, I have to rattle my brain to shell out names that are qualifying for the NFL draft. So, yeah, three players that will probably be participating in that. And it's just a weird time because I'm used to going over to the Scandalera Center and covering Pro Day and talking with players and Mark D'Antonio about spring football. And an unfortunate incident has all of that in total chaos right now. So 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's current sports. Again, we spent the majority, if not all, of yesterday's current sports talking about the madness that ensued over the weekend. The Sweet 16 is set, and we do know which teams will be participating for a possible Final Four appearance. Those teams are Wisconsin, Florida, Kansas, Purdue, Oregon, Michigan. How about the Wolverines, right? Baylor, South Carolina, Gonzaga, West Virginia, UNC Butler, UCLA, Kentucky. That should be a really fun game, by the way. And Xavier in Arizona. To talk about the tourney and so much more, we now invite Deshaun Tate, college basketball producer, host, and reporter for CBS Radio down in Atlanta, Georgia. And oh, by the way, Deshaun does owe me a medium rare steak now at the restaurant of my choosing, because he believed that, as you know, Isaac, that Florida would not make it past the first weekend. Well, they're in the Sweetness of 16. Deshaun, I'll take that steak medium rare.
Medium rare?
Medium rare, brother.
Medium rare, that thing's still going to be mooing.
I know. I love my steak. I like just a little bit of red in there, man. A little bit of blood. That's just how I roll. I love it.
That's how I cook it. Now, when I actually get it from a restaurant, just to be safe, I like getting it medium. Just in
really?
Case, yeah, the chef has a little bit of a slip-up or something like that, I like mine medium from restaurants.
So you got to change the restaurant, Isaac. You got to change the restaurant, brother. You got to go to a restaurant that you know you don't have to worry about that. But, Deshaun, what's up, my man? I know you are a busy guy.
Yeah, man, it's been every bit of hectic, that's for sure, man. It's been busy, it's been crazy, and on top of all of those things, we're still down here in Atlanta, although no teams, local teams made it to the NCAA tournament. You do have one, however, that is in the NIT, and that is Georgia Tech. So that has been every bit of crazy. For the most part here, but outside of that, you got the NCAA tournament, Sweet 16. Brackets are constantly being, ripped up, torn up, thrown in a wastebasket, set on fire, whatever you want to call it, but it is what it is, man, and it is March. It is all of the madness.
Deshaun, what were some of your biggest surprises from the teams that are standing in the Sweet 16?
That are still in the Sweet 16?
Mm-hmm. Biggest surprises.
Obviously, Michigan. I didn't honestly think that Michigan would be there. I mean, it wasn't the biggest stretch, looking at how they finished out as far as in the Big Ten Conference tournament. But outside of that, getting to the Sweet 16, I think they have maybe like 10 or 11 losses, maybe something like that. So that was a little bit more of surprising. As far as I'm concerned, that's probably the biggest surprise that I can think of. I don't think Wisconsin.
Really? What about South Carolina? Because I know, Michigan, I always say this about Michigan. Michigan was my sleeper team because they shoot so well. They've got this senior leader in Derek Walton Jr. who's got such a great basketball mind and so much poise. Mo Wagner, DJ Wilson, Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, a very good team that really could make a trip to the Final Four, if you want to be honest, Deshaun. But this South Carolina team knocking off Duke, just speak on that a bit, because I didn't see the Gamecocks knocking off Coach K.
Well, I did see the Gamecocks. I did some college basketball stuff at the CBS station, and I saw some weak points within Duke as far as maybe a little bit of their toughness, more or less the fact that their front court is very thin. South Carolina isn't necessarily much bigger, but I did see that they were much tougher than Duke. It's just the lack of the experience and talent for South Carolina against Duke in that game. And to me, Michigan was more surprising than South Carolina just because I obviously here in SEC country got to see a whole lot more of South Carolina than most people did. And when you talk about the head coach and Frank Martin, formerly at Kansas State, now obviously the head coach in the last handful of years or so over at South Carolina for the Gamecocks, leading them to the Sweet 16 for the first time in school history. I mean, it just really wasn't that much of a stretch for me, considering how he always has his teams ready to go defensively, if not nothing else. If you put offense with that defense and a little bit of talent, some guys with some heart, they can make a run, and that's what they did in beating Duke.
Wisconsin, Purdue, and Michigan, three Big Ten teams that sit in the Sweetness of 16. I got to ask you, Deshaun, do you believe that the committee overlooked the Big Ten this year?
No, I think that the Big Ten was very down this year. We can easily, now that we see how things have shaken out, sit back and say, well, the committee looked over them because maybe they beat up on each other so much and that caused it, but I still don't really see one of those three teams that really separated themselves from the others within the conference. I saw some other teams were better than those teams were. But I think the biggest thing right now is the fact that the Big Ten, as far as those three teams go, got some fairly favorable matchups with the exception of Wisconsin against Villanova. But remember, Villanova is experiencing something brand new within its own of trying to defend a national championship, which is something different than chasing your first one since 1985 or whatever it was. So Wisconsin is still one of the more experienced, fundamentally sound, basic basketball teams that don't mind beating you 7-6 if they can, as long as they get a win. When you talk about the NCAA tournament and Wisconsin, every possession is going to slow down. Everything becomes critical, and they're going to play their brand of basketball, and they don't mind winning or losing with it. So I just think out of those three teams, they got favorable matchups, and they happen to win games in which a lot of other teams and other conferences, especially the ACC, didn't do that.
Got to ask you this, Deshaun. This is another conversation I've heard a lot when discussing the bracket. Looking at the South obviously the toughest region out of the four. Formidable teams like UCLA, UNC, and Kentucky all in one region. Do you like what the committee did with the South and lumping all of those powerhouses in one section of the bracket?
I don't think it's really up to my liking, obviously, or any of ours, but you always have that every year where there's going to be one bracket that is more favorable to a number one seed or quote-unquote weaker, and that is obviously probably the Gonzaga bracket, in which – when you're talking about the tougher bracket, you're always going to have one of those every Selection Sunday. And you sit back and you pick which ones those are, and that's the South bracket this year. But looking at it overall, I tend to like it just because I like to see the best teams play the best teams, not only when they get to the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight moving forward, but even the first weekend, the first, you know, Thursday and Saturday, or first Friday and Sunday. I like to see that in this particular bracket. This is the only one where we see the number one, number two, number three, and number four still stand. If you're Butler, you feel good because still nobody's talking about you. And North Carolina being the one, Kentucky the two, UCLA the three. I feel good if I'm Butler because I don't want anybody necessarily talking about me. I just kind of want to stay right there and stay put as I am and show the world that, yes, we are in the toughest region, but nobody's paying attention to us, and we kind of are playing with house money, so to speak.
Deshaun, if you had to call an upset this week, which games do you pinpoint?
Potentially, I guess you could say South Carolina-Baylor. I mean, West Virginia beating Gonzaga wouldn't necessarily be an upset just because of who Gonzaga is. I don't think anybody is really expecting for Gonzaga to win. I don't think people are really expecting Gonzaga to lose either, but most people are leaning towards Gonzaga to lose at some point more than they are to win, just because of who Gonzaga has kind of become and their lack of success in the NCAA tournament. But I think Xavier even has a much better chance at beating Arizona than most people give them credit for. I mean, they're bigger than Xavier is, but Xavier has experience. They can score the basketball, and if you can get up and down the floor against Arizona's much bigger but not as much toughness as Xavier has, and in addition to that, Xavier is a more experienced team than Gonzaga as well. So I guess I would say probably Xavier beating Arizona, but definitely South Carolina beating Baylor would probably be the biggest upset if there was to be one. I don't think Butler beating North Carolina would be nearly as big of an upset.
Have to ask you this because I think this is the most compelling game out of the slate this week. UCLA and Kentucky, love those two teams going at it. Of course, they met earlier this year, and Kentucky ended up falling in that game. What do you perceive happening in that 3-versus-2 matchup between the Bruins and the Wildcats?
Well, it's really tough to beat someone back to, twice in the same season. And we know that it's possible. You know, we see that a lot of times. Sometimes you see teams meet up three times in a season, even very, very rare, but it can happen four times in a season. I like UCLA there. I pick UCLA to be my national champion, considering they may have to meet up with Kentucky, but it's going to be extremely hard for UCLA to beat Kentucky again. I think that they can do it. Kentucky's still youthful. When you're talking about a team like Kentucky, I mean, your freshmen are either going to play like freshmen and they're going to drop the ball on you, or they're going to play much bigger like they have been, or much older or maturely the same way that they have been. But It's a game that they met each other, so both of them, of course, are going to go back to the drawing board and go back and look at the game in which they played earlier in the season. And I still like UCLA here in this game. I mean, I just – Kentucky's just a little shorter than UCLA is, in which UCLA also goes a little bit deeper on their bench as well. So I'm taking the Bruins here.
Final question for you, Sean, before we get you out of here. Should Miles Bridges – go or stay?
Al, I've been asked this question a lot of times. Is he ready to go to the next level and be productive? If this is about a money thing and all that kind of stuff, that's something a little bit different, and I get it. But if you're talking about being a lottery pick, which everybody says that he's a lottery pick, he's not going to improve his draft stock around this time next year if he decides to stay or whatever the case. But if he can look at if he looks at his game and sees weaknesses in his game, and I say, why not come back versus go to the NBA? And then, of course, you're developing your game at that point. But in the same token, you're not seeing the floor as much. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to see the floor as much, but he's not. We don't know what team is going to get drafted by. So in that case, he might be handing out Gatorade towels and cups for a little while, and you're not seeing the floor. Why not go and see the floor? I say return back. But if I'm his dad or if I'm a parent or guardian, whoever is over helping him and assisting him in making this decision, I'm saying let's sit down right here next to me, son. Let's sit back and look at all the team's rosters on guys that you can potentially start over or where you can earn time valuable in the NBA for any of these rosters, looking through all the teams. And if you see holes in your game to where you can improve, then I just have to say come back for another year. That's the honest truth.
I think he's gone. I think we saw the last of Miles Bridges this past weekend, brother. DeShawn Tate, college basketball producer, host, and reporter for CBS Radio down in Atlanta, Georgia. DeShawn, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, man. A rare steak coming up real soon.
Oh, I can't wait. Let me know when you touch down in EL, all right?
I certainly will. Now, do you like the high 57 or do you like the A1?
Either one. But I am an A1 fan. I am an A1 fan, I must say. Let's go with the A1.
Me too.
DeShawn, thank you so much, man.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by briefly addressing Adam Silver sending out a memo to the rest of the league saying that, yo, you got to stop resting the NBA superstars. That and more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up a chat with DeShawn Tate. A few things I want to address that I disagree with DeShawn. I didn't want to engage in a debate because it just ate up more time than I wanted. But I do believe the Big Ten was overlooked. He believes the opposite. The Big Ten was tremendously overlooked this year, and there's two ways you can look at it. I go back and forth with this all the time. You can look at the Big Ten beating up on each other and say, you know what? Well, since there's no clear-cut number one team, the conference must not be good. Look at the records of the Big Ten. Or you can look at it and say, you know what? Every team is so deep and has talent across the board. That's the reason. And they know each other so well. That's the reason you're seeing these losses occur left and right. Get them out of conference and you can really see these teams flourish. And you see teams like Wisconsin, teams like Purdue, teams like Michigan make legit runs come NCAA tourney time. So I really thought the committee got it totally wrong when it comes to the Big Ten. I don't believe a lot of them even sat down and looked at the Big Ten. They were so in love with the ACC and so on and so forth. Also, I hate how they lump teams up in the South region. It totally dilutes the product when it comes to dwindling down these weeks to Final Four and national championships. I want to see these teams come late into the tourney. I don't want them all to be gone in the first weekend. Absolutely hated that. And then, where was I going with this? I had a huge rant about
Miles Bridges, maybe.
Oh, yeah, Miles Bridges, exactly. Yep, Miles Bridges is gone. Why stay? I just talked to Grant. If you are a lottery pick, go and get your money. Okay, I know Spartan fans when having this discussion think selfishly. Of course they want Miles Bridges back. They want to see the Spartans make a deep turning run next year. They want to see Miles, you know, link up with this upcoming recruiting class and reach you know, the mountaintop of the college basketball world. If you are Miles Bridges and you are a lottery pick and the moolah is there, go, young man. And I am not going to chastise you for that, okay?
I'm with you on all that. I think the SEC also overlooks in terms of conferences. When you look at basketball, college basketball, more than any other sport, the talent is equally distributed. You have always got that one kid from the middle of Alaska who can just play, who can just score, whatever it might be. But you've got somebody who's going to go on to a team and help them win. Big Ten, SEC overlooked, while the Big East and then the ACC were overhyped. In contrast, also Miles Bridges, I'm totally with you. Leave. I mean, that's my advice to him. He came here to be a one and done. Now you've got millions staring you in the face and suddenly you want to change your mind. No, leave. Go to the NBA. Get your money. I can't fault you for that. And any Spartan fan who did not understand why he came here in the first place.
And Miles is so good. I disagree with Deshaun on this too. He's not going to be getting water. He's not going to be getting Gatorade. He's a talented young player who, like every young player, is probably going to go through a few growing pains. It's all circumstantial, and I do agree with Deshaun in this. It is circumstantial when it comes to teams, you know, with the loaded roster. I mean, Miles may be fighting for playing time here and there, but again, if you're a lottery pick, go and get that moolah. Right now we have live in Studio S, we've got Grant Essenmacher. I previewed this story briefly. We're going to go in more in depth on it on tomorrow's Current Sports, but Adam Silver sending out a memo to the rest of the NBA saying that resting superstars is a extremely significant issue for the league and something needs to change here. Grant, what are your thoughts on it? Do you agree with Adam?
Yeah, and I think that superstars should be playing every night, but I think the one thing that them resting has done for the NBA and for Adam Silver is it sent a message to Adam Silver. This is Adam Silver's response to them saying, hey, we don't like the back-to-backs, how many there are, the scheduling the NBA needs to change, and I think that they, you know, the stars of the NBA want to see the NBA season stretched out a little bit longer so they don't have to play as many back-to-backs, and that's really the reason for them sitting, too. I think Adam Silver's responding to this with the memo.
Gotcha. So do you think you see this changing in the future?
Yeah, I think they'll change the schedule. They'll increase it a couple weeks and make it so less back-to-backs are played.
Why is this now an issue? The NBA has been doing this for years. Why is it now an issue?
It shouldn't be now an issue. It's more because the stars are bigger divas now, there is some of that in play, but because it's an issue now, you have to adjust to it. You have to have your stars on the floor. If you're Adam Silver, you have to adjust. You have no choice. You know,
they're kind of forcing his hand with this, right?
They're forcing his hand.
I agree. Yeah. Isaac, brief thoughts. 30 seconds left.
Overall, I'm with the commissioner when it comes to this one. I like it, but at the same time, I don't think you can enforce these changes to next season. I'll explain next show.
I'll explain next show as well. I got a different take. I agree with Adam Silver, though, but I have a different way on how to solve this issue, and I think it's really simple. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Great show. Thanks to Grant Essenmacher, Isaac Constance, Deshaun Tate, and for you for tuning in. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Take care, and be easy, people.